Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Advocate. How are you doing this afternoon?
Very well, thanks. How are you keeping over there?
We are well, Mxasibe. We thank God that you are back with us. I hope everything has gone well since we last spoke.
Yes, no, been doing very well, very fine.
Fantastic. There you have it. Well, we want to thank you once again for always helping us understand some complex legal issues here on AWR. Now, this afternoon we talk about consumer rights and protections. And of course, those who are listening, in fact, all of us are consumers. And as such, consumers have certain rights that they must know about, rights as consumers that they're entitled to. And of course, they can even enforce their rights. So the Consumer Protection Act and the Bill of Rights allow consumers certain rights. And this is what we're going to be just briefly talking about this afternoon. So, okay. Advocate, what is the Consumer Protection Act, as it were?
This is an act designed to level the ground and particularly to protect every single person who gets involved in commercial transactions.
Okay.
And commercial transactions happen from the minutest of all, buying sweets in a shop, buying goods, groceries in a shop,
okay,
to buying big things on credit.
All right.
If you're going to be, for instance, getting involved in a transaction where you purchase a car, you will have the Consumer Protection Act applying there, where you get involved in purchasing an immovable property, you will get that involved. Where you try to get a loan from the bank, you will also have that applicable to you. And it could be a loan for instance, your credit card, it could be a loan for anything. You get involved. For instance, you should not be granted a loan when it is actually patently clear that you cannot afford to pay back the money that you're borrowing.
Okay.
The lender, and I need to very quickly go into this, the use of the words here, the lender, the bank, cannot lend you money beyond your means to can actually manage to pay back. But also, there is also another facet where people get involved nowadays in bogus transactions, the quick rich scheme type of transactions.
Yeah.
And that the consumer is protected from. And all of this kind of information is contained in the Act. And I would immediately say, the listeners should please go to the bookshop and pocket book, which is written the Consumer Protection Act. And I think it would just be found in your small shops, Fansky, maybe CNA and similar shops.
Right.
Because one is able to read there what is it that you are protected on and what your rights are, what your responsibilities are once you are in a transaction.
Well, so,
This is an, I would say this is just merely for me an introduction to all of us. Let's know the Consumer Protection Act protects us, but also then it creates some responsibilities for us as well.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Now, at what point would a person called a consumer, and I think you've explained who the consumer is, any person who's going to get into a transaction. Now, at what point would the Act need to be invoked by the consumer?
most of the time we invoke the act without quoting it.
Okay.
I must say that up front. But there are many transactions that we get involved in where the act says you must have a written agreement in this regard. If I'm going to have a purchase of an immovable property, the agreement cannot be just verbal. It should be written down. Hence, all people who go to buy land, buy a house, mm-hmm. buy a car, they get involved in written agreements. Because it is protecting the fact that you may be buying a certain piece of property, but actually whoever the seller is taking advantage of you in that there are many defects that you're not aware of, and you yep. may probably never be able to have recourse. There's an attorney one day who phoned me and said, "Counsel, my father in Queenstown bought a property in Potchefstroom, a car in Potchefstroom, and paid money because he or she had seen it in Facebook. After paying the money and is supposed to go and collect the car, the seller was nowhere to be found." It's extremely important for people to know who the seller of a property is. And yeah. I warn people even today, don't buy property simply because you see it on Facebook. You need to have a little bit of extra verification that whoever sells that property on Facebook or just generally on social media is available readily and can be traced. You have knowledge. You can see who that person is. If a person cannot be traced, don't buy property from such people. So you've got to enter into that written agreement. You take, for instance, an institution like Take a Lot. You know by now that Take a Lot is in existence. You can go to their office. You can prove your purchase if you bought it over social media, and you are able to say, "This is it, Take a Lot, and you generated an invoice of this nature for me, and therefore I'm returning this thing to you because it is defective or there's something wrong with it." But if you're going to be looking at Nigelo Bangisi, but actually there's no Nigelo Bangisi, the only Nigelo Bangisi that we know is this advocate. Now, and another Nigelo Bangisi does not exist, and he did not give you any invoice, you might land in trouble. So we need to know the identity of the consumer. And of the seller. And of course, you as the consumer, you need to be as protected as you can. So you get risky in the multi-level marketing schemes that we find out there. Most of the time, if not all the time, are done by people who cannot prove that they are registered financial institutions, and that they cannot even produce to you their registration number, that they are registered by the National Credit Regulator. And therefore, you should not do business with people like those. If you do it, you do it at risk. That's what it is.
Yeah. And I think many people have actually burned their fingers with that because people have, unfortunately gotten into those transactions where they now end up losing all of their savings and they haven't gotten into something they do not know about.
Yes,
now,
that's true.
The Consumer Protection Act, advocate, does it cover instances where people get scammed over WhatsApp transactions,
Yeah.
Does it protect?
And this Yeah, this is the very reason I initially started and said, let people get themselves a copy. It's a pocketbook. It's a pocket booklet.
Mm-hmm.
And that pocket booklet, one can read it at leisure and, you know, be able to go and find out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do business people with people you don't know. For instance, also, don't do business with people without reading the terms and the conditions of a transaction you are about to go into. When lawyers, doctors, pastors, very well read people go into these transactions, some of them, they don't read terms and conditions.
Mm.
Those terms and conditions contain the identity of the people that enter into an agreement. If you are not going to go into a written agreement and you can actually verify these factors, don't enter into that, because you will be scammed and you are more likely not to get your money back. You take Bushiri. Bushiri is a very good example.
Yeah.
Money from people, and when he was charged, he ran away, and the people that gave him money, they lost all that money.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is a case in the Free State where at least the man who scammed people was arrested, because they are also not allowed to do business. These people who are not registered to do a multi-level kind of business via Facebook, via email, via the telephone. There are so many people who enter into transactions via the telephone.
Mm.
Don't allow yourself to go into that transaction. I mean, you take OUTsurance. OUTsurance by now is a reputable company. You take Tracker.
Mm-hmm.
You can enter into that transaction, but you must, after you have entered into that transaction on the phone, demand that they send you an agreement between you and them, and they must also send you that telephone recording between you and them. It is your right to go and get it. If you get someone else who calls himself NBB, like Nigel O'Brien Bandisi, NBB Tracker, a new giant in the trucking industry, is coming in, and is coming in a very low price, you must make sure that you find out who is this, and what are his credentials? What is the registration of the company? Where is the office of these people? Do they have your normal basic company management?
Mm.
And you are able to do that. Because if you've been scammed, you're going nowhere. You're not going to get your money.
Yeah. And now, you know, in instances where I think, you know, in this situation where people get into transactions that they may not fully understand and they're not getting their money, what you're suggesting is that they will have no recourse in as far as the Consumer Protection Act is concerned.
Yeah, I need to go really into this one. As soon as a person receives a written agreement, and he is about to sign it, don't sign it first. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Take that agreement, go with it, sleep over it tonight, tomorrow, Sabbath and Sunday. Maybe you can give it to them on Monday. There's someone, my organization, the Johannesburg Society of Advocates, that sent an agreement to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to reject it, and I'm going to give them my own agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are lay people who do not know what to do, slip over it. Don't hurry, because now you see a beautiful car or you see a beautiful piece of furniture and you're about to really take it. Don't go into that. Please go read it first. There might be provisions in that agreement that will catch up with you at a later stage, particularly if you happen to default, because we normally default. And once you have defaulted, the seller will invoke some of the provisions in the agreement, which he will take you to court on, and the court will say you signed the agreement and you signed it voluntarily. You cannot tell the court that you are not aware that this kind of an agreement exists. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure that once you have signed it, they must sign it on their part, on their side, and you must have your signed agreement in your possession and file it safely. Mm-hmm. That's how it's done. When you sign it at the bank and you don't even worry to take your own copy, it's your problem. It becomes your problem. Yeah.
Very, very important. Now, Advocate, before I let you go, there are instances. I know of an instance, I think it was my own mother, who went into this particular clothing store. And, you know, these people, they would then take out the card, and because these are elderly people. So take out the card of the shop, and they are now making a payment. So they've not come to purchase. They've come to just make a payment. So they take so the lady on the other side or whoever takes the card and does whatever that they do, and then they give the card back and they say to the old lady, "Mama, just please wait here, we're coming back." And then they come back and they give the receipts and everything. A couple of weeks later, the statement comes, and the statement says, "You now owe 8,000 rands as your balance." And this person has never, they just came to pay an installment of 400 rands, for instance. Does a consumer in that instance, because it is their card and they cannot prove that they did not take those items, yet they did not take those items, they just came to pay. So the unscrupulous person on the other side, who happens to be one of the employees of these shops, does these criminal acts. Now, it means that because they don't have evidence that they did not, they then have no recourse. So, correct?
Yeah, it's a unique one, this one that you're raising, but it happens at all times in a variety of forms. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When I am going to go to Foschini or to Edgar's to pay my account, and I have cash in my hands, and they then produce a card on their side. Before a card is put in your name, generally speaking, you would have to sign for that card. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that the court will explore. And they will ask a question. Did you go to the shop? Yes. Did you ask them that they must do a card of this nature, which is a credit card? It's just that it belongs to them. Yes, I did. Oh, yes. No, I didn't. Oh, you did not? Yes. Okay. And how did you then make your transactions to them? Then you need to explain to the court how you've done. So what I want to say is, once a person is scammed by the employees of a particular lender or seller, you need to report them twofold. One, to the police, so that the police are able to open up a case of fraud and or theft. And then you need now also to get somebody who is a shrewd in law, very experienced, to look into how you were scammed by those employees and claim on your behalf from that particular shop. Nowadays, shops don't like to be taken to court because their name generally gets to be published in the newspaper, and they will be blacklisted. So you've got to take them to task. If you do not take them to task, then you say, I don't have money for an attorney. Go to legal aid. Go to the legal resources center. Go to a university that has got a legal a clinic. They can be able to assist you where you are unable to assist yourself, and you cannot pay a lawyer any money. And people need to know, when you have employed the services of a lawyer, your cost generally comes back. You can always be paid your cost if you succeed in a court of law. Mm-hmm. So don't be scared to do that. Go and challenge it. You have a right as a consumer to challenge it. And this is what I normally do all the time when I enter this cam or I enter any other shop. The price that you see is the price you will pay. Remember that. And the Consumer Protection Act does assist us in that regard. The price you see is the price you pay. But secondly, at all times, if you have taken something home, but it does not actually work for you, take it back to them. That's why some of us do not buy things easily in the street, because we'd like to make sure that if it's not good for me, I must be able to take it back, including food. If you go to Checkers or Pick and Pay or Woolworths or whatever, Sunshine, you buy food there, and that food or the tin stuff or whatever it is you buy is not right, you take it back. They do not have a leg to argue with you when you produce your slip. That slip is a document that shows you have entered into an agreement with them. They will just take it and they refund you, or you can go take a different item in the store. Mm-hmm. So the Consumer Protection Act in these small things applies in this fashion. Mm-hmm.
Well, I must say that you have actually enlightened us and given us quite a bit to chew on this afternoon, Advocate Bangisi. We want to thank you so much for coming through and being part of the conversations here on AWR as always. Blessings to you.
Thank you, man. God bless you.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.